Welcome to Torati Mecha Haftorah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we are going to learn the special Haftorah that we read on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Although this week we will read Parshas Noach, instead of the regular Haftorah, we will read from Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Samach Vav, the very last parak of Sefer Yeshaya, as is taught in the Gemara Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph to read on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. This parak is one of comfort, and it speaks about our ultimate, final, and permanent arrival home, back to the Beis HaMikdash and back with Hashem. It also includes references to the war of Gog Umagog, and its connection to Rosh Chodesh seems to come all the way at the end, in verse 23. V'hayah midei chodesh b'chadsho, u'midei shabbos b'shabbato, yavo kol basar lehishtachavos lefanai, amar Hashem. And it will be every month and every Shabbos, all flesh will come to bow before me, says Hashem. It is a reference to the Messianic times when all the world will come to the Beis HaMikdash, every Rosh Chodesh and every Shabbos. This is our Haftorah, and this Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. There is a very difficult Gemara about this Seir, the goat, that we bring on Rosh Chodesh as a sin offering. While every holiday includes a chatas, a sin offering, the one for Rosh Chodesh is unique in that it is named Chatas Lashem, as it says in the Gemara, Shavuos Daf Tes. De'amar Reish Lakish, ma nishtana se'ir shel Rosh Chodesh, she'ne'emar bo Lashem? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, se'ir zeh yehei kapara, al shemi'atati es hayareach. Reish Lakish explains in Maseches Shavuos Daf Tes, why is the goat of Rosh Chodesh different, that it is Chatas Lashem? Hashem says, this goat will be an atonement for me, so to speak, since I made the moon small. Of course, this is a most enigmatic and difficult to understand Gemara. Hashem is asking us to bring a kapara for him? What is the meaning of making the moon small? Rav Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler, 20th century teacher and ethicist, explains in the fourth volume of Michtav Meliyahu that Hashem created darkness and a moon that radiates less and less light. If this world had constant light and clarity, sin would be impossible, pain would be absent, and yes, free will would be absent as well. Hashem left space, so to speak, for us to find our way ourselves. The reason for this, the justification for this, is that we would ultimately find our way out of the darkness, climbing out and creating ever greater light. Hashem said, I left space for you to fix it. Habi kapara alai, bring an atonement for me. In other words, fix it for me. I left it for you to fix. Rav Hirsch, the pivotal and influential 19th century rabbi in Germany, reminds us that it's not the moon reappearing in the sky that creates Rosh Chodesh, it is the Jew seeing that moon. That Rashi comments on the words, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month is for you, as Dugma Hi Lachem, let it be an example for you. And Rav Hirsch homiletically explains, yes, let the moon be an example for you and of you. Learn from that new slice of light in the dark sky about your ability to bring light in your darkness as well. Every month on Rosh Chodesh, Hashem says to us, see in the celestial light of the moon, hope for your own light. Let this moonlight be your guiding light so that you too can shine again. These are two powerful ideas of Rosh Chodesh, that the darkness allows for the light of new beginnings, rejuvenation, and self-discovery, and that this light will even transform the preceding darkness so that it not only fades away, but is understood and reconciled as a foil and backdrop for the light. And so, yes, once again, we find ourselves discussing the confusing and difficult, but also empowering world of Bechira, free will. And now to our Haftorah. It begins with a strong rebuke from Hashem. In chapter 66, verse 1, the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house can you build for me? What kind of place for my rest? In other words, do I need your house? Why do you think I need your house? The heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. Two worlds, the upper world and the lower one, so different. In the former, a world of clarity, a world of truth, a world of light. Angels crying out, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy is God. Singing, serving, fulfilling Hashem's plan, consistently and willingly, Hashem's throne. But they look down and know with truth, Milo chol ha'aretz kivodo. It is truly down on earth where the honor of Hashem resides. Why? Because down here is the world of Bechira, of free will. It is only man who can choose Hashem, who can choose goodness, who can choose to see Hashem in our world, to bring Hashem to our world, and to use the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, as a means to connect to Hashem and uplift the entire sphere of our existence. Therefore, it is the earth that is the footstool of Hashem. It is only when we conceptualize the power we have as people to sanctify God, to transform ourselves, to truly live as uplifted beings, that we have begun to understand Bechira, free will. But Hashem mournfully cries out, you have not done this. As most Mefarshim explained verse 3, since you are not using the sacrificial service as a sublime transformational experience, but as a cold and empty symbolic act to me, your sacrifices are as ugly as if you had murdered or brought me a dog or a pig. They are not holy acts, for you are not using them to become holy. I don't need your house. I don't need such sacrifices. Or as Rav Hirsch understands this verse quite literally, you bring sacrifices, but they are so meaningless and ugly, because when you have concluded the service, you actually go and murder. And after paying lip service to holiness, you exit this temple and behave without morals or ethics, as if this was a dog-eat-dog world. And in the same verse, Gam Hema Bacharu Bidarchehem Uveshikutsehem Nafsham Chafetza, they have also chosen their ways, their disgusting habits, is what their souls desired. You have free will. You are free to transcend, to transform, but you have used your free will to destroy. This mournful condemnation of Yeshaya, of a nation that had so much potential, that was gifted with a Beis HaMikdash, but thoughtlessly and so foolishly wasted and abused the opportunity we were granted. But this is the final chapter of Yeshaya. So while the chapter begins with this sharp rebuke, ultimately Yeshaya lets us know that we will find our way. We will cross the finish line. We will find our inner strength and light, and we will come home. And almost unbelievably, it will happen through our own free will. Finally, the reality of Bechira will be vindicated as our light will shine. The metaphors that are employed in this chapter to describe the final redemption is childbirth, as in verse 7, Biterem tachil yalada, biterem yavo chevela, vihim lita zachar. Before she labored, she was delivered. Before her pangs came, she bore a son. Or verse 8, Mishama kazos, mi ra'a ka'ela, hayuchal eretz biyom echad, imivaleb goi pa mechas. Whoever heard the like, whoever witnessed such events, can a land pass through labor in a single day, or is a nation born all at once? Yet Sion labored and at once bore her children. And then the miraculous promise of verse 9, Ha'ani ashpir velo olid yomar Hashem, imani hamolid va'otzarti amar alokayach, shall I who bring on labor not bring about birth, says Hashem? Shall I who cause birth shut the womb, says your God? Amazingly, after our seemingly endless exile, the end will finally come. And just as after labor pains, no matter how painful, the joy of the birth will come, and when it comes, it truly does erase the pain. It will almost feel like we hardly remember the painful labor pains in the joy surrounding birth. And almost unbelievably, we will almost forget the labor pain of our exile in the joy that will be redemption. And such beautiful language of a whole nation coming home as if being birthed all at once. And Hashem says, if I brought the labor pains, surely and certainly will I bring the birth. What a fitting metaphor. Perhaps the only pain in the world that brings a smile to our hearts, that pain of childbirth. And Hashem says, this is your story. Thinking again about Rosh Chodesh, not only will light follow darkness, the darkness is there to bring forth the light. In exactly the same way as labor pains bring on the miracle of birth, it is actually the painful and dark world of Bechira, mirrored by our own difficult exile, that will beget the final redemption. And so the Haftorah continues with the beautiful words, Simchu es Yerushalayim v'gilu ba kol ohaveha sisu ita masos kol hamisablim aleha. Rejoice with Jerusalem, be glad for her, all you who love her. Join her in her jubilation, all you who mourned over her. The Navi tells us, those of you who never forgot, who never stopped loving Yerushalayim, who understood the void, who were crying for the distance you felt from the Shekhinah, from Hashem, you who cried with pain, you were the ones who actually pulled the Shekhinah back here with your tears. You shall now rejoice. And after the analogy of childbirth, the next few verses compare the experience we, the Jewish people, will have in Messianic times to the total and complete safety and security of an infant in his mother's arms, content as he is fed and caressed after all our years of traumatic wandering, unrest, and persecution. We will finally be safe and secure, experiencing the calm river of peace in verse 12, Nahar Shalom. And in verse 13, Ki ish asher imo tenachamenu, kein anochi anachemchem, uvirushalayim tenuchamu. Like a man whose mother comforts him, so will I comfort you, and in Yerushalayim you will be comforted. What is comfort? How is comfort ever possible? Can the pain of the past ever be diminished? And why the mother? Rev. Shimon Schwab, 20th century rabbi, explains, perhaps we will need help processing all that pain. And as a mother who understands that the miracle of birth is what reconciles the pain of childbirth, Hashem will help us process and remind us that none of the pain was pointless or without meaning. See it, Hashem says, as the labor pains that formed you. Understand the darkness and understand the pain. And so, as the pasuk continues, Yerushalayim tenuchamu. When we behold the transformed and beautiful Yerushalayim, we will finally be comforted. The next part of the Haftorah talks about the war of Gog Umagog and how the entire world this time will also be faced once again with Bechira, with a clear choice, and that many will be drawn to the holiness of Yerushalayim. They will actually support and enable our homecoming. As it says in verse 20, Veheviu es kol achechem mikol hagoyim mincha lashem basusim uva rechev uva tzabim uva peradim uva kirkaros al har kadshi Yerushalayim, amar Hashem. Kasher yaviu b'nei Yisrael es hamincha b'chli tahor beis Hashem. And out of all the nations, says Hashem, they shall bring all your brothers on horses and chariots and drays, on mules and dromedaries, to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, as an offering to God, just as the Jews bring an offering in a pure vessel to the house of Hashem. There will be many of the nations of the world who will understand and want to participate and support this beautiful homecoming of Hashem's children coming home to Jerusalem. But that those who continue to fight the nation of Hashem and the plan of Hashem will finally be punished and will no longer have any power to harm us. The darkness of the past will end, and this time it will be forever. As in verse 22, Ki kasher hashamayim hachadashim v'haaretz hachadasha asher ani oseh Omedim lefanai ne'um Hashem, kein ya'amo zarachem v'shimchem. For as the heaven and the earth are new that I have created and are still standing before me, says Hashem, so will stand your children and your name. The heaven and the earth I made are still new today, still undestroyed. And so are your children. And Radak explains, this pasuk tells us this homecoming will be a permanent one. They will never be exiled again, and they will never deserve exile again. We will come home and forever. And as the entire world will come every week and every Rosh Chodesh, they will also see the corpses of our enemies. The Haftorah concludes with Rosh Chodesh, and this certainly seems apropos of this final chapter of Yeshaya that describes our final journey from darkness to forever light. And as we say in the Kiddush Levana ritual, Sheheim Asidim Lehischadesh Kemosa Ulefa'er Liotram Al Shem Kvod Malchuso, that the Jewish people will be renewed as the moon to glorify their Creator for the sake of the name of the honor of His kingdom. May that day come so speedily in our time. Thank you for learning together.